This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 790. Hey, make sure that you are subscribed and downloading all of the podcasts over wherever you're listening to podcasts, of course, such as on Spotify. Give us a 5-star rating to go with that 5-star frog splash. Also, buy a t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. Give us a like on Facebook. Give us a follow on TikTok at Marking Out, Twitter at Marking Out, on Instagram at Marking Out 11. You can follow me, Dave the Rave, on all social media platforms at DavidPTDPT. Follow Chris at ChrisSweenDog on Twitter and CMSweeney85 on Instagram. And follow Brandon at BTTG161. Brandon, how are you?
I am awesome as always. Do I normally say I'm doing awesome as always, or do I just say I'm awesome as always?
I think, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm doing awesome as always. How about yourself?
Nice. How was your week?
It was fine. It was another quick week. Didn't do much. Had spinach and artichoke dip. That's about it.
Well, that sounds fantastic. That's good. That's good. I'm glad.
I feel like, hear that. I mean, I said this a few months ago, but I feel like spinach and artichoke dip, like, was super popular in the 90s, and then people just stopped caring about it, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a hot appetizer in the 90s, and I still think it's a good appetizer, but I don't know. You ever a big spinach and artichoke fan?
I've eaten it. It's good. It's good. You know.
Well, folks, there you have
That's
it.
Good, though. Well, there you go.
How was your week?
Yeah, I had a good week, too. But we had, unfortunately, a passing within the world of professional wrestling. Dennis Condrey passed away from the Midnight Express.
Yeah, he was a founding member of the Midnight Express alongside Randy Rose. Bobby Eaton would join later on, but he held the AWA Tag Team Championships, NWA Tag Team Championships, so many other championships. Condrey worked Mid-South Wrestling, World Class Championship Wrestling, Jim Crockett Promotions, AWA, like I said, NWA, like I said, CWF. His last major promotion appearance was AEW with FTR, and I'm happy that he got to have that like big moment there. The Midnight Express feuded with teams like the Road Warriors, the Fantastics, the Rock and Roll Express. They also ran a Midnight Express versus Midnight Express feud with Dennis Condrey teaming up with Randy Rose to take on Bob Eaton and Stan Lane. I think many people consider the Midnight Express to be the best tag team in wrestling history. They say your favorite wrestler about them, about Dennis Condrey. Now AJ Lee uses that. And honestly, despite them never working a WWE match, I think they should have 100% already been inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame. And there were so many tributes this past week. Paul Heyman, who used to manage him, paid tribute. William Regal, Adam Pearce, Nick Aldis, Ricky Morton, of course, Michael Cole paid tribute on Monday Night Raw. And honestly, if you're not familiar with the Midnight Express, if you're not familiar with Dennis Condrey, I would say go check out Jim Cornette's podcast about him. And I mean, he spent so many years as the manager of the Midnight Express. So getting it from Jim, I think, is very helpful for fans who might not know who the Midnight Express are. And mm-hmm. Dax Harwood set up a GoFundMe. So if you can donate to that, go check that out. Our condolences go out to his wife, his family, his friends, all the fans of the Midnight Express around the world. And go out and watch the Midnight Express this week. But we're going to move over to Monday Night Raw, which kicked off with Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, who I just mentioned before, no longer disheveled. Quick turnaround for Paul Heyman there. And Paul Heyman brought up how people always talk about Brock's opponents the same way. They'll always be the next big thing, and then yet they never are. And he applied it to Obafemi. He mentioned Braun Strowman. He mentioned Dean Ambrose. He mentioned Bobby Lashley. He mentioned a bunch of people.
Those things. Dean Ambrose was very surprising.
I mean, Bobby Lashley also works in AEW. Braun Strowman no longer technically works for WWE. I'm not sure how that works.
True.
But Paul Heyman said Obafemi will be conquered at WrestleMania. And Obafemi came out. Brock scooped him up for an F5. Oba got out of that, clotheslined him out of the ring. We saw this similarly with Omos when they set up that match with Brock Lesnar. I just really hope that it goes the other way. I really, really hope that Obafemi walks out with that win. But like I said, I just highly doubt it. I would like to be wrong there, though.
I have faith. I have faith.
I have little faith.
But next up, you had the Vision pick of the victory over the Usos, but it was by a disqualification.
The Usos got a new t-shirt, but still come out to Jay's theme song.
They got to stop it.
And I'll put a pin in that. But the turnbuckle pad came off during this match. Logan Paul ends up crotching Jey Uso on the exposed turnbuckle. He also had Brass Nux and LA Knight came out. Which, did you see the video from the fan side of LA Knight coming out of the crowd?
No.
Huge slip or something. I don't know what happened there. That was crazy. I'm glad he's okay. But he attacked from behind, passed the Brass Nux to Jey. And instead of hiding it behind the referee's back or anything, Jey just used them on Austin Theory. And then he used them after the match, after they already got DQ'd on Logan Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, LA Knight told Jey Uso that he's starting to sound like Roman, something that we've been hearing a lot lately. So,
yeah.
And then, of course, Paul Heyman went to Adam Pearce. He wanted a title match for the Vision next week at Madison Square Garden, and it's going to be a street fight for the titles. And I'll put a pin in that big time, because Jey Uso kind of really annoyed me. After that, we had Becky Lynch come out. And she spoke about being off for 10 months, and she came back to WWE. She won the Intercontinental Championship. She didn't go for the World Championship. And when she went and won the Intercontinental Championship, she helped make that title. And now AJ Lee is champion after taking 10 years off. She was robbed of it at the Elimination Chamber. Becky Lynch also brought up how her daughter was doing AJ Lee's gimmick. She's now a fan of AJ Lee. And then AJ came out. Becky Lynch ran off. And AJ said that every time they've been in the ring, she's embarrassed Becky Lynch. So maybe it'll take a fourth time at WrestleMania for this to finally end. And then Becky Lynch brought up AJ resigning from WWE after her last WrestleMania. And said that she should save her the trouble and just, like, end her. She doesn't have to resign after that match at WrestleMania. So we're getting that match at WrestleMania. Like we discussed the other week, I didn't remember that AJ Lee had won every single match when they were together. It seems like Becky Lynch is going to be, I have to assume she's going to be walking out winning that.
I agree. I think Becky's going to walk out as the winner, and I'm totally okay with that. Next up, you had Javon Evans pick up the victory over Grayson Waller. Grayson's still cursed, just saying.
This was a pretty even match, though, but eventually Javon Evans hit that Hurricane Rana off the top rope. He hit the OG cutter from the top rope. Very interesting was that Kofi Kingston didn't get involved here. I don't know if it's him teaching a lesson to Grayson Waller, or if he's showing his respect towards Javon Evans and hope for Javon to join New G'day.
Mm-hmm.
After that, though, Paul Heyman went to the ring. He had requested time to talk about Seth Rollins. And he had told Adam Pearce, he's like, I'm having a really bad night here. There's nobody left for me to hide behind. And then he went to the ring. He said WWE is not big enough for him and Seth Rollins anymore. And maybe it's just time for Seth Rollins to come out, put him out of his misery. The masked man showed up. Obviously, one of them was Seth Rollins. Paul Heyman's ready to get attacked from behind. And then police showed up to have Seth Rollins arrested because Paul Heyman filed a restraining order. And I don't know if that's an accurate thing to... Can you get... Like, he wasn't aware of this restraining order until they arrested him? Is that accurate? Is that a thing that happens? Can you violate a restraining order before you're even, like, notified of said restraining order?
We may have to consult ChatGPT on that one.
I have no idea if that's even accurate. But Paul Heyman, while Seth Rollins was getting hauled off, ran his mouth big time and mentioned Seth Rollins' daughter. So Seth ran all the way back down and clocked him. Took Paul Heyman down. Where is this leading to? Is Bron Breakker coming back for WrestleMania? Who is coming for Seth Rollins at WrestleMania?
I mean, I forgot. Why was Bron Breakker out even?
He got injured.
Yeah, but why?
I don't know. A body part of his was injured. Was it his shoulder?
I don't remember.
I think Bron Breakker had a shoulder injury.
It's possible. Maybe it's him. Next up, you had Bayley and Lyra Valkyria pick up the victory over the Kabuki Warriors.
It was not, by the way. It was a hernia surgery.
So he should be back. But yeah, Kabuki Warriors, they lose.
Very enjoyable match.
Mm-hmm.
This was also a pretty even match. I like Bayley hitting the Bayley to belly on the announce table. And then she went to elbow drop Asuka on the commentary table. Kairi Sane saved her, but Lyra hit the Nightwing on Kairi, got the victory off of that. I thought this match was going to go to a no contest. I didn't think we were going to see a definite winner here, but Jackie Redmond interviewed them afterwards, and they spoke about Nia Jax and Lash Legend. They challenged them to show up to Madison Square Garden for the titles, to challenge them for the titles, and that match was made. So next week on Monday Night Raw at Madison Square Garden, you're going to see Bayley and Lyra Valkyria take on the champions, Nia Jax, Lash Legend. That's probably going to be the match that ends in a no contest.
I can see that happening.
And then obviously backstage, not obviously, but afterwards, Asuka yelled at Kairi, blamed her for their loss, and told her to make it up to her. And then Asuka walked off. Io spoke with Kairi and said that she doesn't deserve to be treated like this. And then that segment also led to a match with Io and Raquel for next week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going to happen with Io at WrestleMania. I don't know.
I mean,
like, it seems like it's going to be the Kabuki Warriors in that match. But where's Io fitting into WrestleMania there?
Yeah, it's tough to tell right now. Tough to tell. But next up, you have Penta picking up the victory over Dirty Dom to retain his championship.
Are you going to bark because iShow Speed was there?
Mm-hmm.
Danhausen, by the way, also pitched a team between him and Speed. Speed turned it down, so he got cursed. Very interesting.
I mean, it was more so a team up for YouTube. And more so Danhausen wanting his password and access to his YouTube account for, what was it,
YouTube.
I showed Danhausen or something.
But
I forgot what he called
everybody it. Else has been a heel so far that's gotten cursed.
I mean, I show Speed is pretty much a heel.
Is he?
In my world.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Stephanie Vaquer ended up attacking Liv Morgan during Dom's entrance. They brawled in Gorilla. Well, she got slammed pretty hard, it sounded like, Liv Morgan. That slam, like, you hear that thud. That was pretty crazy. But JD McDonagh showed up to support Dom in this match. Dominic attacked Penta before the match even started. I don't know what to specifically call it, but my favorite part of this match was that, like, modified perfect plex that Penta hit. It wasn't like a perfect plex at all, but at the same time it was. I don't know what else to say, how else to describe it, but that was my favorite part of the match. But JD McDonagh eventually distracted Penta, and Dom was able to hit the 619 off of that, but Finn Balor made his way out. He stopped Dominic from hitting the frog splash. Which I feel like when they do distraction spots, sometimes they take like way too long. This one kind of took way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Finn Balor took JD out, and then when Dom went for the splash, Penta got a roll up on Dom to get the victory there. And then Dom tried to run off. Finn Balor got him back in the ring, fought with him. JD McDonagh saved him from a coup de grace. But Balor took both of them out, continued the attack on Dom. JD again stops it, but he eats a final cut. He eats a coup de grace. This is WrestleMania here. It has to be Finn Balor versus Dominic Mysterio.
I think so, and I could see Finn Balor actually picking up the victory.
We shall see.
Yeah, but that was the main event, but we did have CM Punk cutting a promo in the ring.
Before CM Punk went to the ring, though, Jimmy Uso warned CM Punk about Jay. And then CM Punk goes out there. He mentioned it. And he said that nobody in that family can do anything by themselves. And he mentioned being pissed off when Roman Reigns called him old. But it's because his young boy doesn't get to call him old. And then CM Punk said that he knows that he's old. He's not ashamed of being old. If he was old, he'd be covering up his gray hair like Roman Reigns does. And he said that if Roman Reigns looks at him and only sees an old man, then he's already lost the match at WrestleMania. And he brought up how Gunther and Jay lost to CM Punk, and then Jay Uso showed up, and he yelled at him for running his mouth about his family, for running his mouth about him, and he's like, well, let's go right now, and he tried to square up against Punk. Punk was like, I'll do it, and then Jimmy showed up, and he questioned, he's like, what are you doing here, bro? And then he blamed Jay for the DQ, he blamed them for having the titles on the line next week. And Jay said he doesn't care about the freaking titles.
I guess that's a good thing because I don't want to see the Usos in that sort of a setting.
I just don't know what's happening here. Jimmy told him to leave. And he's like, this isn't our fight, man. This is Roman. And Jay's like, where's Roman? And then Roman Reigns showed up. He questioned the Usos about having a tag match. He's like, didn't you guys lose? Aren't you guys done? Why are you guys here? And then he told Jimmy and Jay to leave. And Punk said that maybe they should stay because Roman needs all the help he can get. And then that's when that set Jay Uso off. Jay charged him. He got taken out. Jimmy went after him. And Roman ends up hitting CM Punk with a Superman punch. Jay yelled at CM Punk and told him, not CM Punk, he yelled at Roman Reigns, and he's like, get him, what are you doing? You know what you need to do. And then Roman Reigns took an order from Jey Uso and speared CM Punk.
Yeah, I definitely was not expecting him to do that, but it made total sense, and what I loved is that...
Did it make sense? Jey Uso is getting the orders? He's giving the orders, I mean?
I mean, he... if depends on how you look at it.
He said, I mean, what are you doing? You know what you need to do. Go get him. That sounds like an order to me.
I still see Roman Reigns as the leader.
Rewind a few years ago, Roman Reigns would 1,000% not be listening to Jey Uso say, go get him.
This isn't the same bloodline, though.
Yeah, of course not. It's not, because Jey Uso seems like he's the tribal chief in that end of Monday Night Raw there.
I don't know. I don't see it as that.
And Roman Reigns continued the attack. He powerbombed CM Punk through the commentary table, and CM Punk laughed it all off. Trying to help him up. He's like, I don't need the help. I'm not the one who needs the help.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but...
It's very obvious what it means. I mean, in my head, it's obvious. It's going to be broken down from the inside. CM Punk, you can't do anything to CM Punk. He knows he's old. He knows he's broken down or whatever. Roman Reigns is the one who puts up this facade. Roman Reigns, I don't need anybody, but here you have Jimmy and Jay both out there doing work with you. Now, Jay giving orders, Roman Reigns taking orders from Jey Uso. It has to be like a million Samoans or something in that match.
I hope not.
I mean, I don't know, man.
It's the same crap that would happen a few years ago. How many Samoans are going to squeeze into one matchup? I hope not.
I was very, very surprised to see Jey Uso give that order and then Roman take it.
Why wouldn't he give that order? Well, why wouldn't he say, you know what to do, go for it? Like, you're being easy on him. He's trying to wake him up.
And
he's trying to tell him that he's being lax on it.
Roman Reigns took the order.
If that's what you say. But let's get on to some NXT, kicking off with Ren QCC picking up the victory over Fatal Influence.
Fatal Influence
Ren
controlled.
Ren Sinclair coming off a big victory, too.
Yes, but Fatal Influence controlled most of this match. I liked when Lainey Reid went for a cheap shot to Kendall Gray when she was on the apron. Kendall Gray, she's just like, I don't even know how to describe. She like ducked down kind of, but like pulled back and like hung off the rope kind of. But, like, not, she wasn't off the rope. She was just, like, she pulled herself back and down. I thought that was really cool. But I need them to stop doing that pile-on pin breakup. I really hate when they do that. But I also, I enjoyed that back elbow that Kendall hit, the Andrade elbow that everyone's like, oh, Chris Jericho, Andrade, they're stealing from AEW. But it was eventually an armbar that made Lainey Reid tap out. Ren Sinclair stopped Fallon Henley from breaking up the pin with a final wrench. So I appreciated that ending. And then Kendall Gray cut a promo afterwards, said that she's coming for that NXT Women's Championship. At Stand and Deliver, and then Lola Vice showed up and said she's taking the title at Stand and Deliver. So for Madison Square Garden next week, Rob Stone set up a number one contenders match between Kendall Gray and Lola Vice. I would say if it doesn't end in like a no contest sort of setting, that Kendall Gray would be the one going on to Stand and Deliver, and I would say taking that title from JC Jane. I'm not sure though, but I'm like leaning towards that. After that, we had Sol Ruka come out. She said that she saw all the stuff that Zarya had been saying about her, and she thought Zaruka was much stronger than that. And she said Zarya decided that it wasn't worth it to stand next to her anymore, even after fighting for her when nobody else would. She had real tears in this promo. And then Sol challenged Zarya to a match at Stand and Deliver. Zarya showed up and said that all she wanted was Zaruka. And Sol just wanted stuff for herself. Sol Ruka being painted painted as the heel kind of here. The fans were booing Sol Ruka at one point.
And not wrong.
And she said that she hated seeing Sol succeed. And she also said that it's not about Sol Ruka, it's about standing on her own. I thought both of them in this segment did incredible. Certain sections of the IWC were like, this is garbage, this is the worst thing I've ever watched. Doesn't even make sense. I feel like you just haven't been watching.
Yeah. Or they forgot. I mean, Paul Heyman said it many years ago about the ability for pro wrestling fans to just not remember things. So, but next up, you had Kalani Jordan pick up the victory over Thea Hale. Very solid matchup between the two of them.
It wasn't a one-sided match, but Kalani Jordan went into this match with a purpose, and she got the victory. She attacked Thea Hale afterwards. Jada Parker made the save. I think that set up a match for them next week, if I'm not mistaken. Not 100% sure. But after that, we had a Gauntlet Eliminator match to become the number one contender for the North American Championship. There was a mystery man involved here that turned out to be Johnny Gargano.
And the crowd went crazy when he came out, too.
You had Shiloh Hill and Drake start the match. Hill volunteered to go first, which I think is weird. But he held his own big time in this match. Dion Lennox was out next. Charlie Dempsey was out. Shiloh Hill at one point got put through the barricade by Dion Lennox. But then that fifth mystery man turned out, like I said, Johnny Gargano. Candice LeRae showed up and she's like, I've been trying to do literally everything to snap Johnny out of this funk that he's in or whatever, except bring him to NXT. So she like makes him go to the ring. He's wearing his old NXT t-shirt. She's wearing the NXT t-shirt too. He's still mopey though. Lying in the ring, moping. Candice, I guess, tried to make him wrestle. Drake knocked him down at one point. He just stayed down. And then they like rolled him around the ring. People are like, Orange Cassidy, they're stealing from Orange Cassidy. Look at that. They're stealing Orange Cassidy. Can't do anything without AEW. It's not even the same thing as Orange Cassidy. Apparently Orange Cassidy invented rolling or being rolled. But the fans chanted big time, like you were saying, for Johnny Gargano. OTM took Dion Lennox out, so Shiloh Hill was able to eliminate him. He was able to eliminate Drake. He was able to eliminate Charlie Dempsey, who I thought for sure Charlie Dempsey would eliminate Shiloh Hill. That didn't happen. And then Birthright attacked Shiloh Hill, and that led to Candice basically just shoving Johnny Gargano onto Shiloh to get the victory without Johnny doing really anything in that match.
I think that that's great, though.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see Miles Bourne defend that title against Johnny Gargano at Stand and Deliver, and I think that'll reinvigorate Johnny Gargano. I don't know if he'll win that North American Championship or not, but I think he'll get his groove back there.
Well, you left out something very important.
What?
Let's not forget what happened last week, where $2... went to Danhausen to help out Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, but he didn't say he was going to.
I mean, he took the $2.
He specifically said he didn't say he was going to, I believe.
I don't think he actually said he wasn't going to.
I think I saw a tweet.
I don't think he actually said that.
I'm almost certain I saw a tweet.
But Candice did request him, and he did take $2 and walk away. So the power of Danhausen. Do not underestimate the power of Danhausen.
We also
found
out...
It'll be interesting to see what happens next.
We also found out that OTM and Dark State will face off next week at Madison Square Garden. It'll be a six-man tag match with the TNA champion, Mike Santana, stepping up to team with OTM there.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge showing.
The last time.
And next up you have.
The last time Mike Santana's father saw him wrestle live was at Madison Square Garden when AAA ran their show with Impact in 2019. So I think it's really cool that Mike Santana gets to return to Madison Square Garden and team with OTM in that match. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, it should be good. Next up, you have Los Americanos pick up the victory over the Culling to advance.
Elio LaFleur.
Los Americanos.
Elio LaFleur and Eli Knight were supposed to be in this match. They got taken out. I was expecting Los and Gobernable to stay NXT. And I think the match itself was fine, but I was expecting Evil. I was expecting Takahashi like an idiot. So
yeah, you were marking out for that stuff.
I mean, I don't know if I was marking out over that, but I set myself up to fail big time there. But in the end, you saw Ryo load up his mask, and he hit Spears, and then Bravo had his mask loaded up as well, I think. And he took out Nico, and then he took Spears out again to... Or not again, just took out Spears and got the victory off that. And of course, the fans are loving the fact that Los Americanos are down there. They're loving Los Americanos in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting that AAA treatment. So I'm looking forward to seeing them. I don't. Maybe we'll see them win the titles.
I think it's very possible.
Throughout the night, we saw Tatum Paxley looking for Blake Monroe, who stole the North American Championship from her last week. They ended the show where Blake dragged her under the stage. And she asked Shiloh Hill for help. And Shiloh was like, oh, well, she posted this picture. He looked at her Instagram account. She was at a hotel that I think was at by the airport. Tatum Paxley showed up. I think Blake Monroe thought it was room service, but she answered with the door, the lock on still. And Tatum Paxley reached her arm in there, threatened Blake Monroe. And they're going to meet face-to-face next week at Madison Square Garden. How many times have I said Madison Square Garden?
Good amount.
Apparently they want to move Madison Square Garden and remake Penn Station there.
Hey.
Not,
you know what?
Not for I don't that know.
I don't know. They definitely got to build up Penn Station.
I don't think they do.
They got to make it look nice.
What do you mean? When was the last time you did? Did they make it look nice?
I don't think you have to move MSG, but
didn't they make it look nice though? Like, isn't that what they just spent years doing?
They're never gonna.
Isn't it nice inside there now?
Yeah, it's nice, but it could still be done more.
Main event of NXT saw Tony D'Angelo pick up the victory over Ricky Saints via disqualification. Again, this was a pretty even match. Maybe you could say Ricky Saints controlled a bit more of it when Tony, he was sent into the steps and I guess technically was dealing with like a hurt body part there. But Ethan Page ends up tripping D'Angelo up, and Saints went for that tornado DDT. Tony caught him, suplexed him, and then eventually Ethan Page got in the ring and attacked Tony D'Angelo. And then they both beat down Tony D'Angelo. It was Joe Hendry to make the save, and then after he made the save, he hit the standing ovation on Tony D'Angelo. And then Ethan Page and Ricky Saints kind of both picked up the title. Looked at it, and Robert Stone set up a fatal four-way between the four of them at Stand and Deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Who's walking out? Tony D'Angelo's walking out as champion, or what?
I don't know. We're going to have to find out.
So that is NXT. Moving over to SmackDown. It kicked off with Randy Orton, and he spoke about how Cody Rhodes told him that he needed him to basically be the best version of himself and how the fans also want that. And he's been thinking about that 15th World Championship and his legacy, and he previously shut all the voices in his head out. But Cody wanted him to listen to them, and now he can't basically be responsible for what happens next. Matt Cardona interrupted. Clocked Randy Orton with the microphone. Randy Orton backstage yelled at Nick Aldis, demanded a match. And Nick Aldis wouldn't do it because Randy Orton, I guess they said he broke Matt Cardona's arm last week, but Randy Orton pushed him into making the match, so I'll put a pin in that. Yeah, the Bella Twins pick up the victory over Charlexa. The champions showed up. They hyped up their match at Madison Square Garden coming up at Monday Night Raw. This match, kind of slow. I did like that pin transition that Brie Bella did to Alexa Bliss from that Russian leg sweep. I thought that was nice. I also liked the modified heart attack that the Bellas used. But Lash Legend clocked Alexa Bliss. The referee didn't see it. In my memory, I feel like the referee should have seen it. Brie Bella maybe didn't see it also. She rolled up Alexa Bliss off of that and got the victory. The aftermath, kind of awkward. Nia Jax, like, lightly pushed the Bella Twins. They went down. Charlotte just stood there to wait to get attacked from Lash Legend. And then Bayley and Lyra ran down to fight. That hypes up their match at Madison Square Garden. The Bella Twins and Charlexa argued backstage afterwards. Obviously, this is all setting up to a multi-team match at WrestleMania. You had the backstage segment with the Judgment Day where R-Truth was measuring for a new clubhouse. And Damian Priest showed up. He's like, there's no clubhouse. And then Jelly Roll showed up. R-Truth thought that was Dominic. Rhea Ripley showed up. And he's like, oh, you better not let Liv Morgan see this. And then Jelly Roll gave Rhea Ripley a pep talk about Mania. She congratulated Damian Priest for becoming tag team champion. And then she went to the ring. She said she didn't expect Mia Yim and B-Fab to be so desperate and join Jade Cargill. And she said that she'll go through whoever she needs to on the way to WrestleMania. And they came out. Jade Cargill said that they didn't join her. They positioned themselves to be in power. And then Jade said that B-Fab's stepping up for a match tonight and Rhea Ripley is going to learn. And then as far as that promo goes from Jade, I feel like she was kind of shaky on the mic there. But the match goes, Rhea Ripley picking up the victory over B-Fab via disqualification. It really wasn't much. Jade Cargill got involved basically right away. And Rhea Ripley had a short comeback, but she was outnumbered. What happens at WrestleMania when she's outnumbered again, I have absolutely no idea. I can't even, like, in my head, picture who would step up there. I have no idea. I really can't even picture Rhea Ripley taking them on 3-on-1. And I can't picture anybody coming out to help Rhea Ripley there. Yeah, Jelly Roll pick up the victory over Kit Wilson. Backstage, Kit asked Miz to come out with him again. And Miz was like, nah, you were fine last week. I'm going through it. He had stepped in gum and everything. And basically said that Kit Wilson was fine last week, so he can go out there himself again. And then Danhausen showed up, and Kit Wilson went to call him toxic, but Danhausen stopped him and cursed him. And as far as his match goes, I was surprised it actually happened. Jelly Roll actually held his own, ended up with the poetry book during the match. He tried to use it. Kit Wilson ducked it. He hit the tourniquet. But eventually, Jelly Roll hit that choke slam, got the victory. I was impressed. I was happy with this match. When was the last time we saw a celebrity without any other wrestler involved in a singles match on a Raw or SmackDown? Very, very impressed there. Backstage, Solo Sikoa spoke to the MFT. And he said that it's his job to lead the family, but he can't do that if they're all not on the same page. And then he apologized. And then made a note to say that Roman Reigns wouldn't have apologized. And then Carmelo Hayes asked Tama Tonga if he's finally going to accept that open challenge. Shinsuke Nakamura showed up. I feel like he asked the same exact thing. And then Tama Tonga showed up to be like, you good here? Which Tama Tonga said he is. So I'm still like waiting to see whatever's happening between Tama Tonga and Shinsuke Nakamura. I have to assume we're going to see them team up, maybe. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to seeing stuff more from them. Sami Zayn answered that open challenge, picked up the victory over Carmelo Hayes, become the new United States champion. Earlier, Nick Aldis told Trick Williams that he'll have a match at WrestleMania, and then Sami Zayn was annoyed by that, and he questioned Nick Aldis. He's like, he has a match at WrestleMania. And I don't have a match. Like, I didn't earn a match at WrestleMania. And then he attacked Trick Williams and he's like, I'll have a match at WrestleMania. Trick showed up for this match. I thought it was a great match. Carmelo Hayes reversed two Huluva kicks. Trick grabbed the title. He tossed it to Sami Zayn. And then when the referee was dealing with that, he clocked Carmelo Hayes. And Sami Zayn hit a Huluva kick to get the victory there. I think it's really weird that Nick Aldis told Trick that he's guaranteed a WrestleMania match, but then didn't tell him the match. But later after the match, Sami Zayn questioned Nick Aldis about WrestleMania. He's like, oh, did I earn a WrestleMania match now? And Nick Aldis said, yes, you'll defend it against Trick Williams. It's very surprising that Carmelo Hayes is not involved there, but a singles match between the two of them at WrestleMania, I am very much so looking forward to. I think I need to see Trick Williams walk out of WrestleMania as the champion. Even in that match with Carmelo Hayes, they're chanting for Trick Williams there. So it should be very interesting to see. Jacob Fatu came out, said that he's all banged up, and asked what's wrong with Drew McIntyre. He said nothing that Drew's going to do to him is going to keep him down. And then Drew showed up, said that he's the victim, not Jacob Fatu. And then before things got out of hand, Nick Aldis came out and he set up an unsanctioned match for WrestleMania between the two of them. I don't know. I mean, we've seen so much between the two of them already. I don't know what else they can necessarily do. So that should be an absolutely wild match. If, I mean, just based on everything that we've seen with them already, they have to, I think, take it to another level. After that, we saw Julia pick up the victory over Tiffany Stratton. Non-title match, but this match kind of messy throughout. Tiffany Stratton even at one point hit that like 2026 version of the Jeff Hardy Swanton. Had to have been a rough landing for Julia to take that. But Kiana James distracted Tiffany Stratton when she went for the prettiest moonsault ever. And Julia got her knees up, gets the victory off of that. In the main event, Randy Orton picked up the victory over Matt Cardona. Earlier, Jelly Roll had spoken to Matt Cardona. And he told Jelly Roll that if Cody Rhodes does show up, tell him to stay out of the match. And then Zelina Vega and Aleister Black showed up, I guess to kind of rub salt in the wounds of Cardona. Randy Orton also was on the phone with somebody again and said, see you soon. I don't know when soon will be. I assume it'll be WrestleMania. But in the match, Matt Cardona starts this like right away, goes in at Randy Orton, obviously gets beaten down right there. But he came back a little bit using that cast. Didn't last long. Cardona hit the radio silence, which I thought was nice. Commentary continues to call it a Rough Rider. I, at this point, don't even know if they call it or if it is called the radio silence anymore or if it is still just the Rough Rider. But Randy Orton eventually rips off the cast. He's working the arm, hits the RKO, gets the victory. Cody Rhodes pulls up in the tour bus, goes to the ring. Nick Aldis tried to stop him. He's like, I'm just there to talk. Not the case at all. Gets in the ring, starts immediately fighting with Randy Orton. Took out security. Randy Orton took out security. This went on and on and on. Low-key, kind of boring. Especially after what we had a few weeks ago between the two of them. And then Jelly Roll came out, got in the ring to talk to Randy Orton. He spoke to Cody Rhodes. Gets dropped by an RKO. And that's how SmackDown ended. I thought we were going to be seeing Jelly Roll and Danhausen take on Miz and Kit Wilson. Still could happen. But this, to me, sets up Jelly Roll as a special guest enforcer or something for that match between Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes. I don't know what happens there. We'll have to wait and see. But that was SmackDown. I'm going to take a quick little break, and I'll be right back here on Markin' Out.
This is a complete Matt Cardona, and you're listening to Markin' Out. You marks.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Markin' Out episode 790. Week 2 of Rey de Reyes took place. It opened with Rey Fénix, Mr. Iguana, and Lola Vice picking up the victory over Money Machine and La Hiedra. The rules for this were much more like AAA than WWE in this. And I liked the teamwork from Money Machine, like a lot. I liked the work from them in this. I liked the spot where La Hiedra, she ended up with Lieska, and then Money Machine tossed Lyeska up in the air and dropped her on the mat. Then they did the splash and the leg drop combo to it. It was a fun match that fired up Mr. Iguana. He was able to take them out. Lola Vice got in. She took everybody on. Lyedra slapped Mr. Iguana. And then later on, Mr. Iguana hit Pangas Verde. And Lyedra actually pulled him off the pin. I thought that was about to be the end of the match there. And then even later on, Fenix got Lyeska to help Mr. Iguana dive. And then he hit the Mexican Muscle Buster to get the victory there. We had a video from Chelsea Green afterwards. And she sent a message to Lola Vice saying she never lost a title. It was Lyedra who lost the title. It was Ethan Page who lost the title. We had Pagano, Psycho Clown versus the War Raiders for the Tag Team Championships, ending in a no contest. This was very, very chaotic. Pagano put some serious work into the match by himself. Commentary tried to question if Pagano and Psycho Clown were even on the same page. And, I mean, Psycho Clown was out for a majority of this match. And finally gets in, takes on the War Raiders, but they took over. And then Pagano got back in. They took him down. Eric got busted open. He went to use a chair at one point. Pagano accidentally elbowed Psycho Clown. And they all ended up shoving the referee. They all ended up brawling to the back. I was kind of surprised that Murder Clown didn't get involved there. I thought we would maybe see maybe a disappearance since nobody was there to look after him or just see him in general. We had the Rey de Reyes sword ceremony. They had Marisela Pena was there, Dorian Roldan, Chessman, Tejano Jr., Cibernetico was there, all former winners of the tournament. It was really cool to see all of them there. And El Grande Americano thanked everybody for their support. Gave a very good speech, very, like, uplifting. And then Dominic Mysterio showed up and congratulated him on his win. He also took a shot at Rey Mysterio, who was not even in AAA when this was established. It literally could not have won anything that Dom had because it just wasn't available to him. And he questioned their friendship because he's like, you know, it kind of sounds like you're friends with Rey. And now you're coming for my championship. And then El Grande Americano Original showed up, attacked Americano from behind. Dom left. He wanted nothing to do with that. He ripped the mask. Los Americanos ran down. And then Original took the sword. Sea of booze. Absolute sea of booze for Americano Original. Moving over to TNA Impact. It kicked off with Mustafa Ali picking up the victory over BDE. This was a fun match with a lot of back and forth, and I think this was a good match for a good win for Mustafa Ali's first singles match back after losing to Elijah. Order 4 jumped Rich Swann after the match. Trey Miguel made the save. Tasha Steelz grabbed his leg. Order 4 was able to take him down, and then Jada Stone ran down. She took Mustafa Ali down with one of the greatest Hurricane Ranas from the top rope that I've ever seen. That was fantastic. Very, very much so well done on that. And then Agent Zero went to choke slam hard, but Trey Miguel got her out of the ring. You had Jeff Hardy pick up the victory over Brian Myers. In TNA, I've really enjoyed the different face paints that Jeff's had recently. This one was really nice. The match itself, kind of short for what it was. And then the system afterwards attacked Jeff Hardy. Matt Hardy tried to make the save. They took him out. Kind of literally just did the same segment beforehand. And then the Righteous ultimately made the save. But they kind of really just did that same formula back to back. And then Moose showed up for his match, which I liked flowing directly into that. And he picked up the victory over Bear Bronson, which Bear Bronson controlled more of this match. So even though he lost, I think Bear Bronson looked really good in this match. But the system made their way back out. The Atlanta Falcons, who were there for Moose, hopped the barricade and stopped them from getting ringside. And with that distraction, Moose was able to spear Bear Bronson, get the victory there. Backstage, they aired a vignette of sorts. You had the White Rabbit. Mara Sade was doing an interview, and then it was like a normal interview and then turned into like a vignette style where she got a note. She followed the White Rabbit. Rosemary ran down everything that she's collected recently. And then Crazy Steve showed up. And Crazy Steve yelled at Rosemary. And if I was following along, I believe he said he needs Rosemary to free him from wherever he is. And in return, he'll sacrifice himself, if I'm not mistaken. We saw Tessa Blanchard, Mila Moore, and Victoria Crawford pick up the victory over Jody Threat, Harley Hudson, and Myla Grace. I'm glad that we got this match. I think it's really good to see Hudson and Grace. I think we need to see more of them on Impact and like more frequently. This match got a bit chaotic, but not in like the typical chaotic wrestling fashion. But Tessa Blanchard ends up getting the victory over Myla Grace. You had Eric Young pick up the victory over Brad Attitude. I find matches like this to be completely pointless. Eric Young jumped Attitude before the bell. It wasn't like completely one-sided, but at the same time, you knew Brad Attitude was not winning this match. But still, I don't think this was necessary. It didn't do anything like, oh, great, Eric Young's on TV. Eric Young gets a victory, but over who? It's just meaningless. After that, Buff Bagwell made a surprise appearance and said that he'll wrestle for TNA one more time. Very surprising. And then Frankie Kazarian interrupted that and made fun of him for losing a leg, basically. And then Elijah showed up. Kazarian took off. I don't know if he's actually going to wrestle for TNA, but I'm here for it. I like Buff Bagwell. Main event saw the System pick up the victory over Mike Santana and Leon Slater. Kind of weird to see how much the System is all over the shows when Moose is hunting them. But like, what happens after they lose to Moose? They just keep being the System. He's not really doing anything to them. The match itself, it kind of felt like a house show match where it's like, it's not bad. And it wasn't completely random. They've kind of been building to it. But it just doesn't seem like a match that they were building to for TV. It just felt like filler. But eventually the match breaks down. Santana ducks the Boston Knee Party, hits the Death Valley Driver, hits a dive to the outside, and then Steve Maclin showed up. He attacked Leon Slater. He can't put his hands on Mike Santana, or else the match will be off between the two of them. Mike Santana can't put his hands on Maclin, otherwise he gets stripped of the championship. And then in that quick moment of distraction, Leon Slater popped back up. He was able to take down Steve Maclin. But when Santana got back in the ring, Eddie Edwards hit him with the Boston Knee Party, gets the victory off of that. So the System, I guess you could say a much-needed win for the System. It's just them losing to Moose and then not really being affected by it is kind of pointless to me. But that is TNA. Hey, Brandon, got any shout-outs?
Hello there, it's Randy Newman, and you're listening to Brandon's shout-outs, because you got some shout-outs from Brandon.
Sunny Nights gets the first shout-out. It's an Australian TV show, but it was just released the other week on Hulu here. It stars Will Forte and Darcy Carden, who play brother and sister. They moved to Australia to start a spray tan business. And Will Forte's character also kind of like chases his wife to win her back to Australia. And it turns into blackmail. It turns into murder. It turns into looking for murder. Who did it? I thought it was about to be straight up comedy, but there's drama. There's comedy. It ends on a cliffhanger, which it's not renewed yet, and I really hope it gets renewed.
That'd be torture.
Like, I thought this was a really good show. I very much so enjoyed it, so I really do hope And it sucks because I assume once it does, if it does get renewed, then they would, obviously they film it and then they air it again on the Australian TV and we have to wait. But I don't know. Maybe if it like does really well on Hulu, then it could just like air at the same time. I don't know. Probably not. Who knows? Mm-hmm. My next shout out is going to Is This Thing On, which is now out on Hulu as well. It came out, I think it was out in December in theaters, but it stars Will Arnett and Laura Dern. This one, I really didn't know what it was going to be about. I thought this was going to be mainly about Will Arnett, like his character being a stand-up comedian, and it's so much more than that. He's on the verge of a divorce and finds an open mic night. He tries to, like, I forget, he didn't have any money on him, if I'm not mistaken, so he just decides to go up and do stand-up. And he starts doing comedy. And it's apparently loosely based on the life of the English comedian John Bishop, who I'm not familiar with, but Bradley Cooper directed this. He co-wrote it with Will and Mark Chappell, and he's also in the film as well. Andra Day is in it. Amy Sedaris, Sean Hayes, Christine Ebersole, Peyton Manning is also in this movie. So many people are in this movie. And I enjoyed this. The Comedy Cellar is in this. I don't know if it's specifically supposed to be the Comedy Cellar. I assume it is. But
what's the Comedy Cellar?
In New York City. Yeah. Which the place has a special place in my heart. I've never been there for an actual show, but that's where I got to hang out with Judah Friedlander for the night.
Oh, look at this guy over here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have 100% watched this as a TV show just so we got like more story out of it, but it's a movie, so I would say check it out. My last shout out goes to Chuck Norris, who passed away last week at the age of 86. He was an actor, pop culture icon, best known for his role as Ranger Cordell Walker on Walker, Texas Ranger. Which is funny that it was the lead-in for Monday Night Raw, but I feel like all the wrestlers that guest starred on that show were wrestlers from WCW. Like Hulk Hogan was on it, Sting was on it, Roddy Piper, Macho Man, he was in an episode, he wrestled him in a cage, or fought him in a cage, I should say. But he appeared in so many movies, he held black belts in multiple martial arts. And in 2005, the world was introduced to Chuck Norris facts. Apparently that started as like a dig at Vin Diesel, and then it turned into a dig at Chuck Norris, and then...
Really?
I think so, if I'm not mistaken. And then it, like, took off and, like, became, like, legendary that he embraced.
I didn't even know that was ever a dig. I thought it was just, like, a thing that we were doing at the time.
I'm almost certain that's what I read up and saw.
Huh.
Almost. But at Survivor Series 1994, he appeared as the special outside enforcer for the casket match between Undertaker and Yokozuna. He prevented Jeff Jarrett from getting involved with that. He hit a roundhouse kick to Double J. He would later appear on an episode of WCW Nitro in 1999 with Jean-Claude Van Damme, Brett Hull, and Herschel Walker to celebrate Goldberg's victory against Scott Norton. And then the NWO showed up afterwards. Goldberg took Brian Adams out, took Stevie Ray out, took Horace Hogan out, and then they all hopped the barricade, got in the ring, and celebrated. I feel like if you had Jean-Claude Van Damme there and Chuck Norris, should they not have been the ones taking out the B or C team of the NWO?
I think so.
Chuck Norris, by the way, also used as an April Fool's joke in 2021 for the mobile game WWE Champions. They made...
Really?
Yeah, they made him a card for the game, but they said he'd be too powerful and would break the game. That's like tying it to the Chuck Norris fact gimmick, but...
Yeah.
And then I forget he was replaced in the set, but I'm kind of surprised he never guest hosted Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I mean,
he would have been a shoo-in there.
Yeah, he was He always was just such an impressive martial artist whenever you saw him. And, I mean, his battle with Bruce Lee and everything. And it's incredible how he was able to capture so much fame from being a martial artist. I think, like, he goes up there with Steven Seagal and Bruce Lee. And Jackie Chan.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, too.
Yeah. You know, but outside of that, we haven't really had anybody of that, like, kind of a martial artist background going into the acting field and being as successful. I mean, of course, now you have the MMA people, like Ronda Rousey, you can make a claim. But, yeah, unfortunate.
Yeah.
And he looked great. He was, what, 84, I think?
80.
I think he was, like, in his low 80s, and the guy looked fantastic.
No, it was 86.
So, 86?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked fantastic, just very unfortunate.
I once called
Chuck Norris?
The Total Gym. He was the spokesperson for Total Gym, and Total Gym, they were airing the infomercial. This was like well after the peak popularity of the Total Gym. And I called them. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, hey, can I speak to Chuck Norris?
And what'd they say?
They got super pissed off at me. 3 in the morning, they're answering their phone. They got super pissed off. They even called me back to yell at me. Never got to talk to Chuck Norris, though.
Jeez.
Go out, celebrate him. Do what you can. Do some martial arts, maybe. But those are my shout-outs. Now it's time for
our
is right, our mark out moment of the week. I feel like we should start right off the bat with the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Because it was announced last week that Dennis Rodman will be getting inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame this year. They also, the timeline of this is super crazy because Rodman's apparel company apparently had been teasing like an apparel drop on March 27th. So by the time you hear this, the drop has already been dropped. But it was already dropped beforehand because they are teasing that. They announce the Hall of Fame induction. Then they show off these t-shirts. PacSun ends up putting it up on their website. Saturday, WWE Shop puts it on their website. So they're releasing a bunch of his old WCW shirts, but making them WWE. So I think that's really cool. I think Dennis Rodman is a very deserving person to be inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that Dennis Rodman definitely is deserving. I mean, the guy was in the Chicago Bulls NBA playoffs, the finals and stuff, and he bailed on practice to go attend a Nitro.
Who else would do that? That's insane.
The same guy that would marry himself.
They also,
They
also announced two right now, as of recording, legacy members of the WWE Hall of Fame. One being Psycho Sid, the other being Bad News Brown. Both of them, I feel like, should have been in the WWE Hall of Fame years ago. It's unfortunate that they've not that they're not here anymore to accept this.
Yes, agreed. It's very unfortunate that they're not here. And, you know, Sid was actually one of my favorites when I was a kid, which was a short period of time because he wasn't really with the WWF for that long. But when he was with the WWF, I remember being a big fan of his, especially, even when he was a bad guy, mostly because seeing him do the power bombs, like that powerhouse kind of an aspect. The power bombs, the choke slams, the big boot. He was just such a force. And I was just like, this person is so cool. And I've said it on my on the podcast before, but my in my federation, like the tag team that I would always team together action figure wise, and pretty much they were undefeated. It was my action figures, the Jacks of Vader and Sid. I would always pair up Vader with Sid because I figured you had Vader being like the a big powerhouse looking kind of a fella with the power bomb and stuff like that and the Vader bomb. And then you also had Psycho Sid, who was not like jacked in the same built in the same manner of Vader as Vader, but still just as much of a powerhouse. So I'd always pair them together. And even when they were going up against like, and they were still heels. And when they were going up against anybody, I would just have them dominate. And yeah. And plus, it's my dad's favorite wrestler as well. So. My dad's name is Sid, so Psycho Sid.
You have other... I have, like, but, a ton of mark-out moments, I feel like, this week.
Oh, no.
I already mentioned Mike Santana getting a chance to wrestle Madison Square Garden again is awesome.
All right, so how about I say mine? We'll cross that off your list. I marked out for what do you want to talk about with Cody Rhodes, with Matt Cardona being out. A little bit through the episode, but it's a long episode, and it's always incredible.
It's a long episode? Isn't it like, how long is it? It's got to be like an hour and a half.
Hour and 5 minutes. I thought it was going to be more
I like,
listening, but...
I hour. Like the fact that they brought up, I guess, spoiler alert if you didn't get to the part yet, when Matt brought up Cody and Kevin Owens kind of burying him. Or not yeah. specifically Cody, but Cody didn't stick up for him.
Yeah, I thought that was... There's so many spots about, like, that just sounds funny, about Cody telling him how he never takes out his wallet to pay for drinks. Like, there's so many funny parts of the podcast, but just knowing Matt, it's just cool, and it's special, and it's nice to hear. And it's also nice to hear... somebody like Cody Rhodes being such good friend, like hearing the friendship between him and Matt, because Matt deserves to have people like that around him, especially in such a dark industry. So it's nice to hear him sitting down with legit friends, and it's just nice. So I'm making my way through that. So definitely mark out for that. And then another mark out that I've had was Danhausen's backstage segment with iShow Speed, where... Danhausen challenged him to a foot race. Did you see this clip?
I did. Do you know why?
Why did you?
No.
Oh, why he challenged him to a foot race?
Yeah, and why are you calling it a foot race?
I have no clue. Because I think that's what Danhausen said. I think Danhausen said a foot race.
Do you know why he challenged him to a race?
Because that doesn't show like Speed like challenge everybody and wins or something.
I think people challenge him and he wins.
I don't know what's scripted and what's not, too.
I don't think it's scripted. I think he's just fast. I don't think they're scripting that.
I don't know.
I don't think they're scripting live streams.
I mean, yeah, but off screen before live stream, you say, hey, let Speed win.
No. There are thousands of people show up when he streams. You're not coordinating that.
They do with Jake Paul's fights?
No.
I think you can do it. You can coordinate, take the dive.
I don't think
collect
so.
The money from this stream. But no matter which way you look at it, Danhausen picked up the victory. Speed?
No, Danhausen did not pick up the victory there.
Yes,
well,
he did.
Technically, yeah. I don't know.
Yes, he did. Because what happened was...
He cheated.
No, he didn't.
He cheated.
No, he
what
didn't.
Do you mean?
He won. He didn't. It's Danhausen's abilities. Don't squash somebody's abilities.
If someone was able to teleport, you wouldn't be able to like use that in the Olympics.
Well, how do you know that he teleported and he just didn't run fast?
I feel like we would have
seen
it.
You can't see it. Can you see the Flash running across?
I've never seen the Flash.
Well, then that's... Okay, so it starts there. But you've never seen the Flash running before.
Did you see there
but
was
But I
a,
thought it was hilarious.
Did you see there was a soccer team that used Danhausen?
No, I didn't see that.
I think so. Remembering correctly.
But what I want to see is because now Speed actually has to give up his password and the YouTube.
I think that
to Danhausen for a little.
I think that might have aired.
Oh, did they actually do it?
I'm not 100% sure.
I don't think that they've done it because I haven't seen anything about it, but I do want to see them have Danhausen take over Speed stream for like maybe a full day. Like that would be hilarious. It would be hilarious.
Because I saw a thumbnail that was...
I don't think that there's actually one that's out there yet.
Maybe it was a fake thumbnail?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm not seeing that thumbnail anymore. I definitely thought I did. Also, MLB opening night aired on Netflix for the first time. It was a New York showdown, the Giants taking on the Yankees. And John Cena was part of it to announce the ABS challenge system, the new challenge system that they have in a video package. And then Jey Uso was also on the broadcast later to yell play ball. Jacob Fatu was there. Yankees won. The Mets won opening day. Somehow.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, so happy that baseball is back. Happy baseball's back. And then we also have St. John's still in the tournament, but we'll see what happens. That could change on Friday.
They also released...
They're going up against Duke.
They released the new trailer for the live-action Moana coming out with the first scenes of The Rock as Maui.
Yeah, Dewey looks good in that.
I think he looks fine. You know? I get why people are annoyed, but I feel like...
Wait, whoa, why are they annoyed?
Because he's not he's not the right size. It just looks like The Rock with long hair. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, but
suggesting like, oh, how do you not have this person play him? And it's like, brother, he's literally that person. Like, how do you not have?
Okay, so, yeah, I don't understand. The options was to either CGI somebody with The Rock's face.
No.
The Rock wear a ton of prosthetics. You don't need to
CGI The Rock's face onto someone else.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure his body is totally CGI fine. Already in that movie. I don't think that's his actual body.
No?
I don't think so.
I didn't watch the trailer, so I really don't know.
But it looks predominantly like just The Rock, but...
Yeah, so I don't know.
Also, by the way, announced as a part of the 2026 Class of Disney Legends this week.
What's that?
What are the Disney Legends? You get a special parking spot, according to Miley Cyrus, who is a Disney legend.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's just Disney's way of honoring like people who helped make the people part of the Disney company. And it's like all aspects. Like this class, you have Jerry Bruckheimer. Lin-Manuel Miranda's also in it. The Jonas Brothers are also in it. A bunch of other people. You have animators. Susan Egan's also. She's the Broadway. She played Belle on Broadway. So it's all aspects of Disney. They honor the legends. Yeah. So I think that's awesome that The Rock will be part of that. I believe that's taking place at D23 in, I want to say, August.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe July.
That's cool.
It might be July. But yeah, so those are the mark out moments of the week. That is episode 790. Thank you so much for checking us out. You can follow us on Twitter at Marking Out, at BTTG161 on all platforms. Chris Sweendog, CMSweeney85, David PTDPT on all platforms. Facebook.com/Marking Out. YouTube and Instagram are Marking Out 11. ProWrestlingTees.com/Marking Out if you'd like to support us like that. Buy some merch. Buy a t-shirt or 6 or 7. Hilarious. At Marking Out on TikTok. Rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify Podcasts, YouTube, MarkingOut.com. And we wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. Have a fantastic week.